You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. So I have to go into this film review with just full honesty. I not only don't give a fuck at all about the British royal family or anything that has happened to them in the past 100 years or so. I mean, sure, it was interesting back when they were actually in charge. Now they're this appendix of civilization that just suck money off the teat of the taxpayer. Why do they even still exist?
Tradition, Chris.
Fuck tradition. First off, when it costs people money, if people are starving in your country and you're paying for fucking royalty, fuck you, royalty. And yeah, fuck like anyone who's like, oh, but I care so much about what happens to them. Whatever. But even though I'm like always like, I don't care. People are like, have you heard about, and I'll just, the moment I hear Prince, I go, nope, shut up. Don't care. Don't want to hear it. But you couldn't miss the whole Princess Di thing when that happened, right? And my take on it was, whatever, and move on with my life. Lots of people have not moved on with their life. Because a lot of people, including, and I'm just going to say it, director of this film, Spencer, Pablo Larraín, genuinely believed that the royal family had her killed. I admit I don't know a lot about it, but we had a conversation with an actual person from Britain who lived in England when all this was going on and was like, look, man, there's no fucking way the British royal family killed Princess Di.
Have you ever tried to have a conspiracy? Like, it's not easy. It's hard. It's a lot of work.
If it was true, with the amount of people who believed it, they would have uncovered it by now, exactly. Is all I'm saying. Yeah. They would have figured it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I'm not saying that's 100% what this movie is about, but it's not about it. This is Pablo Larraín, who previously did, I thought, a really tremendous job with the somewhat ambient Jackie in 2016 about Jackie Onassis. And then just recently, he did an adaptation of the Stephen King story, Lizzie's Story, which seemed like an odd choice for him. We also did a review of that one, if you want to check that out. But now, a film that got a 3-minute standing ovation at the Venice International Film Festival. Kristen Stewart plays Lady Di. It's December 1991. Diana and Charles' relationship is all but non-existent. He is definitely having an affair and has been for a while. They've all gone to the Queen's estate out in the middle. I don't know where the fuck it is in England, somewhere way out in the country.
Sandringham. That's where they go for Christmas.
And it's like right near where Princess Di actually grew up, you know, because she was not used to all this privilege.
She was a landowner. Like, you know what I mean? She was gentry.
There are clips when she was a kid and like their house was a gigantic mansion.
They were lower nobility.
There is a significant difference between the two families.
Oh, sure. There's a huge difference between Bill Gates and fucking Elon Musk, but she ain't a scrub is what I'm saying, and never had to suffer on any level. Anyway, the point is, it's Christmas. She's forced to be there with her whole family. The only people she wants to see there at all are her two kids that are, you know, one of which is flat out a teenager at this point.
No, he was like 9 years old.
The older one was 9 years old?
He's my age.
Because the actor definitely is not 9 years old.
No, the actor's definitely like 13.
And you're 152, right, Chris?
You said you promised you wouldn't talk about that. Now I must kill my hostages. Anyway, and then Maggie, who's her, you know, basically her dresser, her maid, her favored maid, played by the wonderful Sally Hawkins. They have kind of a friendship relationship, but the rest of the family isn't really that fond of her, probably because she gives in a little bit too much to Diana's flights of fancy and not wanting to do every little thing you're told by the royal family. Anyway, we're talking about this film, which just takes place over this Christmas weekend, and how we feel about it, how we feel about the performances in it. Joining me is Frank.
Hello. Full disclosure, I lived in London for 5.5 years, and so I know way more about the British royal family and their history than I ever thought I would in my lifetimes.
And Harmony.
Princess Harmony, my full title.
I immediately lost interest. The only princess I'm interested in is Mononoke.
Oh, that's a huge F you to Leia.
Oh, and Bride, as you wish, right?
Hello, and actually, full disclosure, I grew up in North Dallas, Texas, and I actually happen to know way more about the royal family than Frank ever does, so... No, I have no idea.
I thought you were going to go with not true conspiracy theories.
Mine was an involuntary education, though. It's like, oh, okay.
So the film opens with a label that says a fable from true tragedy, because ultimately this is just speculation. It's based on the fact we knew that they were cold at that point towards each other. We knew the royal family wasn't getting along with her pretty much at all with Princess Di. We knew that they did, in fact, go and spend this Christmas together. We are aware of the fact she was having a kind of a nervous breakdown, even tried to commit suicide. But as to what actually happened on this weekend, nobody knows except for the people who were there, and they're not saying anything about it. So basically, Kristen Stewart was in his position. They could do whatever the fuck they wanted to, pretty much, which is exactly what they do, as they present her as a deeply unstable woman who the film seems to have sympathy for. And like I said, the movie all but goes, they killed her for sure. I mean, it opens with them put a book about Anne Boleyn in her bed, who was murdered by her husband, the king, because her husband wanted to have another woman be the queen. I mean, come on. That's the most subtle they did it reference in the movie. At the same time, you know, I don't like these royals. I don't care about them. They're stuffy and obnoxious, and they get actors that always play stuffy and obnoxious characters to blame, like Timothy Spall as like Equerry Major Alistair Gregory, there to keep an eye on things. The thing is, I kind of sympathized with the royal family because Princess Di was being an outrageous bitch.
Really?
Really?
Whatever Chris says in this review, I can't picture a scenario where you came away liking this movie.
I know. You know,
this, this was your Joker.
I thought this was awful.
We talked about this last night, and you mentioned that, like, oh, it's really bad. And at the very beginning, I heard about the Venice Film Festival, and I was like, there's a 3-minute standing ovation. I was like, holy shit, I guess this is going to be kind of good. And, you know, I wasn't like 100% sold on Kristen Stewart, which I do like her normally. When you said that last night, I was like, oh, I was kind of defeated. And then finally watching the movie, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I liked it as well.
Yeah, I kind of dug it. I'm also just a huge fan of Steven Knight. I mean, well, he has more hits than misses, because he does have some misses. Serenity.
Did you see Burnt, the Bradley Cooper chef film? That was so great. That was him.
Really? You liked Burnt?
I liked Burnt. Chris, just stop. Just stop.
I don't even know what you're talking
Nobody
about.
Nobody liked Burnt.
That's the Zemeckis movie to call Allied and Eastern Promises. And yeah, no, he's solid.
Sure. Again, when he hits. But when he misses, he misses hard. I mean, again, no one can convince me it's a good idea to have Matthew McConaughey play a video game character. It's not a good deal for anyone. Gosh, watching Kristen Stewart's performance in this, it felt so isolating, which, and I guess it also lends itself to the way that Pablo Larraine actually filmed it. It was just like, it was so focused on her that like it felt like she was alone the entire time, and how scary that must have been, and like the pressure around it to have to keep up with like all the stupid ass traditions that they all do.
Oh,
which
no.
I totally agree. I hate tradition. Just the sake of all tradition. The way anyway.
Well, I think that what Chris is alluding to is like that idea, which is like so ridiculous. Like, well, if you're rich, then you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, she's obnoxious to them at every turn, even with just generic, like really reasonable asks. They're like, you know, the media is constantly on you and hounding you. Can you please not stand naked in front of the open fucking window? Not an unreasonable request. And
but
she's
they
like,
are, they are asking it of her at a time where she is emotionally distraught. Her marriage is falling apart. Like,
she's got nothing left to give, really, emotionally. And I mean, she's rebelling, I mean, flat out. In a roundabout way, it is holding on to herself. The fact that she is so defiant. I kept on thinking of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, it's her trying not to fall asleep throughout this entire movie.
There's a very strong horror element in here.
Yeah.
There's a scene where she has a hallucination.
But Chris, you know, you're not meant to fall in love with the pod people.
Yeah.
In the various of the bodies.
They're the bad guys.
I'm not in love with them either, is the point. I went out of it going, I don't care what happens. If the nuclear bomb had hit this place and everyone died at the end of the movie, I'd be like, good. You're all useless. She's a petulant, spoiled brat. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. You fell out of love, a loveless marriage. It sucks when the whole world is watching. It's a difficult situation, sure. But at the same time, it's like there was more graceful ways of dealing with the scenario than what the way she's dealing with it in this movie, which is fucking overprivileged, petulant child.
It all goes to back to the mental state. And I think that, did anybody watch that documentary, Diana in Her Own Words, which is nothing but tape recordings of her interviews that she gave in secret? And it was just the most morose, saddest thing I'd ever heard. Listening to that, though, you do see everything she does in this film. It kind of checks, even though it is like a fable. And I love that they use that term. They cover their asses, because this thing does get into fable territory. As exasperated as Kristen Stewart plays it, it feels like she's hyperventilating the entire time. I kind of felt that was real. Like, just seeing that documentary and seeing just how at the end of a rope she was, how fragile she was, the fact that she could summon any sort of form of rebellion or defiance really surprised me. And that actually kind of moved me.
Everyone knows who the hell she is, and she feels utterly alone, even though she's around everyone all the time. And I understand, like, from your point, Chris, like, well, get the fuck over. You're like, you're one of the most powerful people in the world, or at least a part of like people who are the most powerful people in the world.
But she wasn't built that way. Like, she's not intrinsically wired that way.
She was like a teacher or something at one point too.
She was not made to be famous.
Who came from an incredibly wealthy family that lived in a giant mansion.
Again,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Again, money makes everything okay, right, Chris?
I know. I'm just saying, this wasn't totally new to her.
I guess, but like being a part of someone like a family that no matter what will be a part of history, like, do you really want to be a part of that mm-hmm. kind of history? To take on that like mental responsibility in a way, and the fact that you have to be on all the time, even though there is a really interesting line where Prince Charles, he says, like, there's two sides of you. There's the one that you show them, and there's the one that you just, it's just here.
So there's two of us. There's two of my father. There's two of my mother. There's two of you.
True of anybody who has any level of fame.
Yeah, but then some people are not cut out for fame, and that's fame at the highest level. That's fame that's not fading. Mm-hmm. That's not a movie star that's going to be burnt out in a few years.
I think it's important to clarify once again, I am not commenting on the actual Princess Di.
No.
I don't know how accurate this is. I don't know fuck all about the actual Princess Di, but what the stuff everybody knows, because I could give a shit. I don't care. So all I'm talking about is this character in this movie was an obnoxious person who was self-involved, and no matter what she was going through, she was just being horrible to anyone who came within a foot of her.
She's battling an eating disorder. Her marriage is falling apart. She's under incredible stress. You have no idea. I felt for her. I didn't really follow the royals very much. I followed the fashion, and I will love to talk about that in just a moment.
The fashion's great.
Yeah, literally the dresses are her iconic dresses. I think she did a really good job at being Diana. She had this kind of this doe-eyed, soft-spoken vulnerability to herself that I believe.
Kristen Stewart's great at playing haunted, and this is probably the most haunted character.
Sometimes literally.
As in The Wonderful Personal Shopper, which we all love, right, Chris? But I think Princess Diana was a really haunted figure, very tragic, and this is both in a wheelhouse, and it also does push her in a lot of ways, and especially in terms of the mm-hmm. accent and the physicality as well.
I think she does just fine in the role. My problem's not her performance, it's the way it's written. It's like, I don't like this human being, or I just don't care that much about them. If it was the fifth season of like a TV series where we'd been following her and she's like, oh, I've gotten to really love Princess Di, but I'm not that person. So for me, I was just whatever. And on the fashion thing, I'm more of a 60s fashion type of guy. Like, I freaked out over Last Night in Soho because the clothes are so beautiful.
Yes.
80s and 90s fashion, not my thing really at all, unless it's like a leather jacket with spikes and Dead Kennedys pins on it. But when they're like address the fashion, there's a like a point they go, shit, we haven't shown enough dresses, and the movie just does this ridiculous montage of all her most famous dresses.
Those are all dresses from important moments in her life. Oh my
yes,
god, Chris.
But we're not showing those important moments. It's abstract. She's like running around.
That's
and
the point.
Switching them, and I'm like, that it was dumb.
I mean, that was her little like bio up to that point, wasn't it? It was like showing like different stages
her
of becoming
wedding.
Princess Diana. Sorry, Chris.
That, I don't know.
Me and like seven other people in the theater laughed out loud when that scene started.
No, it was important.
We were like, are you kidding?
Did you all love Eternals though? I'm kidding.
No.
Okay.
Not the same crowd. It was just me.
To Chris's point, like there could have been maybe some kind of lead up. Like, let's just say they needed to maybe build up her character more. Like, maybe if you went into this and had no idea who the fuck she was, and you're like, the only thing you say you maybe think is just that like, why? Wait, everything seems okay. Like, what's actually going on? So I get your point of going in, just watching it truly objectively.
Who is that person that doesn't have the faintest idea who Princess Diana?
Chris!
I have the faintest idea, but I did not listen to the Diana tapes. I think you can know all the basics about Princess Diana and still be the same person watching this going like, yeah, I don't know anything about who she was as a person because I didn't give a fuck. And watching this, I'm like, okay, why should I care?
But I don't think those people are going to watch this movie.
I did. I'm one of those
people.
But
why did you want to watch this movie?
I mean, a lot of people want to see it because they like Pablo Larraín and they'll watch whatever. I mean, I didn't give a fuck about Jackie Onassis either, but I was like excited to see that because I had heard it was like really beautiful and I thought that particular movie was. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts, right? Get us started.
One of the immediate concerns I had when this started was actually kind of the editing. At the very beginning, at least the title sequence or the title itself doesn't even come up until like 15 or 20 minutes in. It pulls a very like Raising Arizona. But I was noticing it was really taking its time to like kind of get going. And I think that a little bit could have been trimmed down. That's probably my biggest complaint of the movie is just the editing itself. A little long in places, but I really dug Kristen Stewart's performance in the end. Like she was pretty damn engaging and I empathize and I definitely sympathize with her because, you know, we have thousands of fans that listen to us. So we get fame. But like on that level of fame, then also not being able to be real and just like tell anyone how you think or what you're thinking about without everyone else knowing about it immediately and then also using it against you. Like that must be so extremely lonely. I think she played it very well. I think it was really well directed. I actually kind of loved the music too. Maybe in the end it was like one of Stephen Knight's more forgettable, like written pieces, but I liked it a lot. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 stones. It's a weight thing.
Oh,
remember
like
that?
The weight
when they were waiting.
Yeah. That was fucked
there
up.
There you go. There you go. A little British thing in there for you.
I would not go to any holiday dinner if they did that.
Knock that shit.
If I went on that bench, I would just immediately collapse the bench anyway. So they were like, oh, this is all broken.
It's all in good fun.
Frank, what about you?
I am praising this movie, but there are things that didn't work for me in this. I didn't think that the manifestation of Anne Boleyn did anything. I thought that was kind of, I mean, not kind of, it was unnecessary. I think just having the book there and the fact that she was reading it said everything it needed to say.
Would have been enough.
Yeah, for me, that would have been enough. Also, that ending. It's like, what the fuck was up with that ending? I mean, I guess that's where the fable part really comes in. But I was like, you're kind of reaching here. Hey, this is where we're going to go. Fine, you've done enough right all this time, so I can forgive it. But this is very beautiful. What I really loved, besides the production quality, is the score, which is amazing. The costume design. I love that you don't really spend that much time with the actual members of the royal family, apart from Charles, and one scene with the queen. Because I love that they're just these phantoms that are lurking. I've always felt like the palace was a prison, and you kind of do feel that. There's that scene where her dresser's waiting outside. Like, I'll be here until you're ready to leave. I'm like a guard. Take me to the chair. The Diana in this movie, what they get right with her is showing that she was really caught between two worlds, one that had her trapped and one that she wanted to belong to. You see that when she's trying to connect with members of the staff and just anyone on the outside. And she really didn't fit into either one. She was sort of like lost and aimless in that way. I think it got to the heart of her mental state. It really didn't answer a lot of questions about who Diana really was. One of the reasons people are always fascinated by her to this day is that she will forever remain a mystery. I think this movie knows that. Ultimately, I dug it. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 bowls of green shit, which I guess was soup because they were eating it first, or maybe it was dessert. I don't know what that. It didn't look appetizing.
The delicacy right there.
It looked gelatinous.
It looked gelatinous, and I would have thrown that up too. So yeah, 8 out of 10 bowls of that.
I bet you all that food was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Come on.
Yeah. That scene in the pantry.
The desserts.
Oh.
Princess Harmony.
Thank you. Thank you. I think it's a really well-crafted film. It makes you feel claustrophobic. It makes you feel like you're choking. You're literally being strangled. And there's some moments, especially before the dress montage, that it's The Shining, like straight up. It's very Kubrick. It's very claustrophobic and terrifying. And it feels awful in places. But some of the imagery, like the whole thing with the pearl necklace and that big literal choke chain, I just thought was brilliant. I would have liked more information leading up to it because I'm not as familiar with all that happened with the royal family. And I think anybody who doesn't know isn't going to care so much. The dresses are amazing. I will find the article once it comes out that goes through and tells you what all these dresses are for because they are all recognizable as Princess Diana dresses. Okay. So I will find it. I will send it to all of you.
Yeah. Not me, thanks. Appreciate
it. No. You're still getting it. I will nail it to your door like Martin Luther. And you, until you come around, that this was beautiful.
That's one hell of a manifesto.
If you don't care anything about it, it's just not going to be for you. But I enjoyed it. It was emotional in a very scary way for me. The whole reason behind people who have eating disorders is because they do not have any control over their life. And this is like the one thing they can control. And I think this absolutely had that feeling. And so I give it props for it's recognizing and representing mental health that way. I think I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10 fabulous dresses that you should know about. Everybody should know about the dresses.
Assuming you care about dresses, which yes. I do not.
I don't even wear dresses and I care.
Me neither. I do care as well.
So I will say the things I actually liked about this film, which is first off, number one is the score by Johnny Greenwood, who I've always liked his scores for films, but this might be my favorite score from one of his films. It's really good. It's kind of jazzy and abstract and weird and kooky. I was like, oh man, I'm digging this. Now, the songs they choose to use in the movie, the actual pre-existing songs, are embarrassing. Yes, they're weird choices that stand out and pull you right out of the film and go, what in the fuck? Who would do that? But that wasn't Johnny Greenwood's choice. That was Pablo Larraine. I saw this in the theater. Y'all saw this on your computer screens. And the print we had looked kind of fuzzy. Any long shot looked like it was out of focus a little bit. In our theater, it was like, this is definitely not 4K.
That looked really good
on it mine. Looked like a DVD quality copy, the one that we saw in a theater. I was like, not overwhelmed by the photography. It's all very gray outside and it's all very royal family browns and what have you inside. But overall, it shot very well. Kristen Stewart is giving it her all. There's no question she has put in a lot of work into this role. And while I think it is a series of bad choices for the way that her character is drawn, she does as good a job as I think you possibly could do with what she's got in front of her. Now, on the bad, I just think this is dumb. I think it's over the top. I think it was a mistake to try and incorporate so many horror themes into this because it just makes the whole thing kind of laughable. I'm sorry, Harmony. I hated that fashion montage. I thought it was so dumb and irrelevant to the story and like out of nowhere. It was like, here's a music video because we didn't get to show you all of the dresses that she's famous for yet, so here's the rest of them. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And just the straight up the movie going, yeah, they killed her. I'm like, whatever. This just annoyed me throughout the whole thing. There's a point where it stopped annoying me and I just kind of went with it in the sense of I've given up. So now I'm just having fun laughing at how terrible this is. Like in scene after scene after scene going, wow, that was bad. I have no idea how this has such high ratings. Not everybody likes everything. There's lots of films that got terrible ratings that I loved.
Oh, been there.
Maybe I'm the new Armand White. Who knows? I hope not. I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 maids that kind of look alike standing next to each other in a darkened entry to a room saying, come play with us, Diana, forever.
You won't take free pearls. Like, no, I don't do regifting. Sorry.